This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Nathan Englander is a writer mainly of short stories. They're fast, they're funny, quirky, not unlike Nathan himself. He's been published in The New Yorker since 1999. Now Englander is working on a novel, and he says he's at it pretty much every waking minute, 6-7 days a week, except when he's at the gym, doing CrossFit with his trainer, Noah Abbott.
You want to warm up, just row, like easy row for a couple minutes, and then we'll do a little Tabata interval piece after we're done with that.
Tabata, we're not doing the anthropology day at CrossFit, but at Tabata is 20 seconds on, 10 seconds off. Really, what I want to talk about is how it feeds into the rest of my life and into my writing and all that stuff. CrossFit metaphysics. What do you call it, like the genetic plot? Could you talk about genetic? This is a eugenics course here.
Yeah, it's true.
But what do you call it, the genetic maximum?
Genetic ceiling?
Yes, right? would you talk about that?
Well, you know, it's an idea. It's a way of kind of getting people to understand that they're kind of training the, you know, for themselves rather than, you know, for the guy next to them and the guy next to them and the guy next to them.
Well, I think that's what interests me. Like, the whole part of writing in our writing lives is this weird, it's like a lottery life if you dedicate yourself to fiction. You just don't know your potential. Like, you know, that's why everybody loves those stories of, like, J.K. Rowling rejected 9,000 times.
Right.
Like, now she just bought whales. You know, like these, you don't know your limit. And in here, it's really, what I kind of like about it is that it's so competitive, but against yourself. And, yeah, that's a comfort for me.
Right.
Yeah.
So, 4 rounds, 20 seconds on, 10 seconds off.
Oh.
You go double unders, box jumps.
So double, I'm going back and
forth?
Yeah,
you go back and forth. You alternate between the two.
Okay.
It took me almost, I think, a year after you walked in the door to kind of realize who you were. It's like, I read him in college.
That's funny.
Right. New voices in Jewish fiction.
Yeah. I knew what course it was.
And you're like, yeah, that's
my wheelhouse,
my spot right
my
there.
Sweet
there
spot.
There we go.
Yeah.
What brought you here? Like, where did you...
Everything's about writing or Judaism with me, as you know, and where the twain meet. Anyway, but... Almost weirdly, I would like trace it to book tour. I'm 45 years old, which traditionally, historically, for a writer, I would be dead now, like one out of three,
right.
Dead or, you know, drinking my way there. But I feel like it was like after last book tour or something, which if all goes well with the book, they send you around and you travel and I'm polite. So in Stockholm, you want me to have dessert? I have dessert. You want me to have another drink in Mississippi? I have a drink. Point is, I get off that airplane after it's done and I feel like basically like a 200-pound bag of salt. You know, you easily, like, fall out of routine, which is, I think, why writers are so neurotic about being interrupted, because you think, like, one day off, I'll just be, like, in bed drinking grape knee-high and watching The View for the rest of my life. But the point is, I was looking to, like, get back to routine, and a friend, he's like, you gotta go, you gotta try it.
There we go. Yeah. Here you go, nice and soft. Good.
It's really pretty imposing to show up here. I enjoy the sound of the clang now, but there's just a lot of clanging and banging and big men and women like lifting a lot of weight and doing a lot of stuff that until you put in the months and the time is extraordinarily hard.
All right, relax.
I'm now going to take a deep breath and not pass out.
All right, last time.
And I have to say also, you're always nice, but everybody gets really nice after you show you're dedicated. I don't mind that in life. As a suburban, lazy, lazy, lazy suburban child who was raised by a TV set and did not go outside, like, it took so many years, like decades literally, to train myself to sit and to push and to write. Like,
try one more round of double unders. I made the rope a little shorter.
Oh, awesome. Oh, nice. That felt different. Here we go. I am finishing a book now, and I am so, I believe the medical term is mentally ill. You know, I am unstable with how hard the work is now, and it's like, that was it yesterday. Like, just didn't have it in me, and I was like, you sit there, I will dig. I'm in an hour and another hour, and by like hour three, I was in, and the world fell away, and I got my work done. I am working better and more efficiently since coming here.
Head through at the top, right? Push that barbell back over your ears. There you go. 10?
Sure.
Yep, that's 11.
I get into things obsessively. My lunchtime vinyasa with friends turned to like a four-day-a-week Mysore practice. Like, I want to bake, learn to bake. Like, I'll make like 600 apple pies till I look like the picture. And, you know, and people say, like, aren't you fencing anymore? But I have to say, of all the things, you know, I'm just full up a CrossFit Kool-Aid. I do feel like this is something that does have staying power.
I think it does in the sense that it's like CrossFit didn't invent exercise. You know, it's just done a better job of kind of packaging it.
Yeah, like actually just those lessons about the slow build of life. Like if I, you know, started lifting like, you know, 1 pound of something when I got here, 100 weeks later, I'm like, I just broke 100 last month. You know what I'm saying? It's that notion of building, seeing yourself improve, both in the micro and the macro. It's like getting a paragraph right and getting a book right.
Ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Okay. Feet a little narrower. Push your knees out hard against your arms. Chest and hips together. Yeah. All right.
When you get to this point, after the deadlift, you sort of, it's like, I believe it's the gym version of Whippets or something. You see little stars.
You know, I think it's an interesting thing about kind of like obsession. You know, I have to have this discussion with people every so often about overtraining. Coming too often, working too hard, and you can just tell things start going in the other direction. Right,
like,
so
that gets a big hallelujah for me. That's the exact point where I'm like, I write so many years of 7 days a week. I work so hard to have like 1 day a week off. It is better for you. Like those lessons are really hard to learn when you've committed to something.
Yeah, it's hard to realize that like you do better with some rest.
As I said it out loud about writing, and as I hear you saying it, it still computes like news to me. Like it really is a struggle to remember like, you know, like a day off will feed you, or like, you know, my wife will say, you know, like Thanksgiving is a national, you cannot write on Friday too, like, because I'm not taking the whole weekend, let's not get crazy.
All right. All right. You got 2.5 off on that side?
Yes, sir.
Right. Go 10 on.
Wait a minute.
Yeah, take another minute.
The writer Nathan Englander at CrossFit South Brooklyn. His most recent book is the story collection What We Talk About When We Talk About Anne Frank.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.